Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
In one way, I don't know why we're surprised, because they're Irish and that's kind of how Irish people roll. But I think people are surprised to hear two actors who are clearly on the verge of a new kind of superstardom now talking so honestly and so openly and everything. What an extraordinary interview, says one person. So elegant and impactful. I have to stop everything to listen to these artists. Looking forward to seeing the collaboration on the big screen. Jessie Buckley is speaking for me when she speaks about Hamlet. That's how I felt reading the book. Can't wait to see the film. I think it'll be wonderful. What a deeply provocative interview. Wow. If we could maybe be our true authentic selves when we experience sadness, grief, happiness and joy, I think it would really stand to us in this crazy, manic, busy world we live in today. Stop and listen, feel and talk makes me think we need to slow down listening to this interview. And someone else says, if there's a better interview with these two superstars in their upcoming year of success, I'll pay money to hear it. But listen, I think that's just how they roll, because they're cool and they're Irish, and they were indeed extremely generous and sang for their supper, didn't they? Claire Brock, Saturday with Claire Brock is coming up at 1 o'clock. What have we got?
That's right, Brendan. Well, today's programme is Saturday's political year in review, and we'll look at the winners, the losers, the presidential election and Fianna Fáil's campaign fiasco. Legislatively, did anything much happen? Was it words and little action? Housing and cost of living, still the big issues dominating. What parties came out on top? Well, joining me, a panel of political journalists to trash out 2025 and a pollster's look ahead to the new year.
Okay, Saturday with Claire Brock at 1 o'clock. Thanks, Claire. And to more important matters now, I'm joined from the Cork studio by the Hacks Hack, Denise O'Donoghue, Life Hacks columnist at the Irish Examiner. Welcome, Denise.
Hi, how are you?
You have some Christmas hacks for us?
I do. We're getting very festive.
Okay, well, we start with driving home for Christmas, right? So you're packing the boot for, you have to pack for all weathers, you've fragile presents, you've tins of sweets. It's like Tetris. What are your hacks here?
I know, it's nearly worse than Tetris. There's real life repercussions.
Yes.
So with this one, it's kind of common sense with a lot of it. So obviously you want to put your heavy stuff on the bottom. So if you've bought someone some expensive crystal, don't put that on the end and then pop something heavy on top, or you'll have a disaster. Other than that, I suppose driving as well, you're kind of worried if you're turning corners or things slipping and sliding.
Yes.
So if you have something like a bungee cord or,
okay,
or one of those nets or even baskets, crates, anything like that, that kind of keeps them contained, basically stops you turning up somewhere with a broken present for someone for Christmas. And then as well, it kind of brings in your own packing. So if you're going home for Christmas, what are you bringing with you? Do you really need to bring 5 coats for, yeah, a 3-day trip? Maybe streamline what you have as well where you can. And don't be afraid to use your footwells if you can. If there's no feet in the back seat, definitely make use of that space.
Or you just tell the children to suck it up. There's stuff under your feet. Okay, the big shop then.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously the biggest big shop of the year. What are your tips here?
So my advice would start with your trolley when you're going around the shop. So what you need to do is kind of start keeping similar things together as you're going around. So you keep all your frozen things together. You keep all your fruit and veg together, any cleaning products and stuff like that. All raw meats stay together as well. So then when you bring it
So you could put like those open reusable bags, the ones that hold their square shape, you could actually put them into the trolley,
you couldn't
could. You? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That'll make your life much easier probably. So if you have them, definitely use them. Or even just big bags yourself, you could nearly lay them out in the trolley. And then when you get to the till, you can keep everything together as it goes through. So when you come out the other side, which is normally where I'm panicking and flinging,
yes,
things, you have a bit of order there. So all the stuff goes into the right bags. Everything's kept together. Everything's safe. You're not accidentally getting some raw meat dripping onto your vegetables, giving everyone food poisoning for Christmas. So
okay, so you've achieved the separation for the journey home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to trying to get it all into the fridge, more Tetris. Now, you've cleared out the fridge a bit first, yes?
Definitely, yeah. So before you go shopping, have a look through, get rid of anything that might be out of date. Or there's a lot of things that, you know, like the big egg debate. Do you keep them in the fridge? Do you keep them in the press? You could move them to the press if you're a fridge person. It's only a few days, you'll probably be okay. But there are probably things in your fridge that don't need to be there. If you keep your chocolate there, if you keep an unopened jam, that kind of thing.
Yes, okay. And then in terms of the layering of the fridge, any tips?
Yeah, so always keep your meats, raw meats separate on the end. So again, the juice isn't accidentally getting anywhere. Try to keep things where you can easily find them, so there's no panic moving things around. Because I know on the day, it gets a bit hectic sometimes in the kitchen. So you want to make your life a bit easier. So have things where you can find them.
Okay, now you have hacks for Christmas Day itself, right? And this is going to be the big one for a lot of people, I'd say. So listen up. You have a hack to moisten a dry turkey.
Yes, this could save Christmas, possibly. Yeah. So if you've cut up your turkey and you realise you didn't baste it enough, or you took the tinfoil off too early or whatever, and you're left with a dry heap, you can soak them in stock. So if you leave it in stock for about 15 minutes, it moistens it, no one's any wiser. A bit of chicken stock, it basically adds to it. If anything, you'd get a nice bit of flavour with it. And this works really well as well on day two or after, if you're using them for your leftover sandwiches with a bit of stuffing.
Okay, so it kind of reinvigorates the turkey for a second day.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll find the next day it's not as nice.
Not as nice, it's like cardboard the next day, yeah. Okay.
You'll have to try it.
Timing of all elements of the dinner obviously can be a nightmare. You're juggling a lot of plates there. You say, like, in the absence of people having a Bain-Marie system in their house, you could use the slow cooker to keep things warm.
You could. If you have one, you can definitely make use of it. So we'll say if your turkey, you've realised you need an extra 15 minutes to soak it, but your potatoes are ready and you don't want them to go cold and disgusting, you can put them in the slow cooker on a low heat. So it keeps it at a steady temperature, it doesn't go bad, and then they're kind of ready for when you do need them. The same if you have a bit of gravy made, you can just pop that in a thermos cup if you have one, your coffee
Brilliant.
Cup.
Brilliant, of course, yeah.
So, it saves a bit of hassle, it saves you making another batch of something and getting more stressed on the day.
Okay, now, presents, right? Some people are able to wrap presents beautifully, right? I wrap something and it looks like an unmade bed. Any hacks there?
You're not alone. I know many people with the problem.
Yeah, men, I'd say, more than women, yeah.
In my experience, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gift boxes, they're very handy. So if you wanted to, you could get them in places like pound shops or supermarkets even. So you could just pop everything in there and it looks pretty. There's no wrapping. You just hand the box over. Or if you've been doing online shopping and you have cardboard boxes around the house, just reuse those. A square box is probably much easier to wrap than maybe the odd shaped thing that you've been struggling with. And ultimately, the present is the real thing that you're giving. People don't really, like, it's nice to get a nicely wrapped gift, but ultimately it's all going in the recycling and ending up the same way. So I wouldn't stress too much about
it. Yeah, torn off generally. Yeah. You make gift tags out of old Christmas cards.
Yeah, so if you are a bit of a hoarder like myself and you kind of accidentally packed away last year's Christmas cards, the front part of them, typically people don't write on the back of that. So you could cut shapes out of those. So you have lovely festive designs. It could be a robin, a bit of holly. And you know, it's something you could maybe bring kids into as well if you want them to draw a Christmas tree on one side and you cut it into that shape. And then you can use those as gift tags on your presents. So it's sustainable as well. You know, it's kind of reusing what you have. Yeah. And it's quite a nice touch as well.
Christmas can be the enemy of sustainability, let's face it.
Oh, absolutely. So where you can make a bit of savings there, definitely do.
Okay, on the sustainability and this more stuff and everything. So on Christmas Day, you have a load of new stuff can be arriving into the house. You're suggesting maybe today or tomorrow do a bit of a declutter?
Yeah, and for next year, maybe even start a little bit earlier. So if you have the space cleared, it's obviously a lot easier then to find places for your new things. But the thing I keep hearing as well is a lot of charity shops say they'd love to get things before Christmas. So if your kids have old toys that you need to clear out before Christmas would be a great time for that, because you do have people shopping for things and it's all great in January when things are there. But if someone is looking for a Christmas present, it's nice to have those in the charity shops for them well in advance. So places
okay.
like
yeah.
that.
Okay. You're also going back to the kitchen. You're recommending, this is for very organised people now, a pre-Christmas oven clean, but there's a simple way of doing this with a dishwasher tablet.
Yeah, so I have one of those ovens with a glass front to it, so you can normally see every splatter that ends up on it. But the dishwasher tablet is just the handiest way to get through it. So if you have one of the hard ones, dip a bit of it into water and just scrub. it cuts through all that grease because it is designed to cut through grease. So it cuts through everything. It's very quick. And then you just kind of wipe it off, maybe give it a little bit of rinse with water, and it's so much cleaner. It saves you scrubbing and scrubbing with an oven cleaner to get through everything. Because they're that bit gritty as well. So they really do kind of get through everything.
Okay. And then the other cleaning issue at Christmas can be, you know, the good champagne or wine glasses that you got for your wedding maybe, and they come out of the back of the press. And somehow they're always kind of greasy and dusty and stuff, aren't they?
They are. And again, you can actually shine them up quickly. So maybe if the person who gave you the presents is coming around, they look like they're well loved. So if you just mix white vinegar and warm water in a bowl and give them a soak, or dip in a soft cloth and then use it to polish your glasses, you get a nice streak-free shine. You can dry them with a lint-free cloth and then they're perfect, good to go, as good as new.
And they're not going to smell of vinegar?
No, it's all good.
Okay. Wine spills?
Yes, don't pour your white wine on it. That's
really
a myth.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Pour it into a glass instead. It's a much better use for it. So for, we'll say a red wine spill, it's actually a kind of dry powder is what you'd want to use. So table salt is the best option. You can use baking soda, even talcum powder, or something along those lines.
Okay, so now just slow down a sec. So if the red wine spills, everyone panics and wants to go at it. You do nothing. Don't touch it and put the salt or powder straight on first, yes?
Yeah, but do try that quickly, because I suppose the longer it's there, the more likely it is to kind of bed into whichever fabric, especially if it's a pale carpet or couch or something.
Okay.
So sprinkle it onto it, let it sit there for a few minutes, and it kind of pulls that liquid up, it absorbs it out of the fabric, and then you blot it. So you never rub it, because that can only push the stain in, but if you blot it, it helps remove it up. And then if you still have a bit of a stain remaining, a bit of hot water and some more blotting should get rid of it. And you might just need to repeat it, kind of rinse and repeat as it goes. So the water will dilute it and the heat from the hot water will loosen its grip on the fabric as well. So that should hopefully sort you out.
Okay, what about wax spillage and stains?
Yeah, again, that's actually a really simple one. If you have a piece of kitchen paper, just put that over it and press it with a warm iron, not a hot one because you don't want to do any damage, but just a warm one, and the heat loosens that wax and then the tissue paper absorbs it up. So again, that should sort you out with that.
Okay. Now, you have a kind of an ingenious method for hanging a wreath, because like you don't want to get into hammering things into the front door and stuff like that. So talk me through it.
Yeah, I use a sticky hook on the inside of my door and then a bit of string going around it. So it goes up over the top and then the wreath is held on the other side so you can see it from the outside. And again, there's no hacking and banging on the door and damaging things. And you can easily take them off, or more often than not, I just kind of leave it there. It blends in with the door. It doesn't bother me the rest of the year. Because I know by the time next year comes along,
and
I'll be looking
again
for it.
You'd be delighted.
Yeah. Okay. I might start doing a wreath all year just to make the most of it.
Okay. You can fake a fireplace as well.
Yeah, this is a nice one. If you're in an apartment or something like that, or one of the new build houses that doesn't have a fireplace, because even though Santa will definitely find everyone, I know a lot of kids get anxious if they don't have a fireplace. So what you can do is, again, maybe it's all your online shopping and you have a few boxes around, you can use those to kind of build a fireplace, and then you can either draw on them and make, you know, maybe a nice brick fireplace, or paint it, or if you have wrapping paper, you can wrap it up into the shape of it, leave a little hole at the front, and then that's a fireplace that Santa can use as well.
Okay, Denise O'Donoghue, the Hacks Hack, thank you very much for that, and a happy Christmas to you.